In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. If we want to learn about evangelization, I think we need to look at the first experience of evangelization, and that was at Pentecost. We want to remember what was happening at the Feast of Pentecost. First of all, what is the Feast of Pentecost for the Old Testament? It's the Feast of Shavuah. It's the giving of the law. And while they were in one place with Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Spirit of God came upon the disciples and the 120. Now, all the people have been gathering in Jerusalem to celebrate the giving of the law, L-A-W. But what happens is that the Spirit is given, the Holy Spirit is given, and there is noise, and people are prophesying and speaking in tongues, and Peter goes outside, and they all follow Peter, and he gives the big Pentecostal homily. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted his voice and said unto them, "Men of Judea, and all you who dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose." Well, they thought they were drunk as they were speaking in other languages and prophesying. They were ecstatic. So they are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's only the third hour of the day, seeing that the barrooms are not even open. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood. Ye men of Israel, hear these words." Here we go. Jesus of Nazareth. Who? Jesus of Nazareth. A man approved of God. How was he approved of God? By miracles, signs, and wonders, which God did by Jesus of Nazareth in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. Him, who is he, Jesus of Nazareth, was delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. You have taken by wicked hands, and you crucified and killed him. Who did you crucify? You crucified Jesus of Nazareth. Wicked men crucified by the foreknowledge of God, who was crucified and dead, slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that death should hold on to him. Now, why could it be not possible for death to hold on to Jesus? Because he is our Creator. Because he is the Lord. Because God created everything through his word. He is life. How can death hold on to Jesus Christ, who is our life, our sweetness, our hope, our everything? Death could not hold him. We also remember that it was at the last second that Jesus rose from the dead. The last second. It was the last second. It was at the Kairos moment. One more moment and he would have begun to disintegrate, rot, but death could not hold him. Why? He is the author of life. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked to the heart. Now, why were they pricked to the heart? I'm going to tell you that when you preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit is doing something. I was with people yesterday. It was a mass that I celebrated for a beautiful man who died of cancer ever so quickly. He was only 58, and yesterday was his birthday. And we had a mass for our friend who died, Daniel, who died. And, you know, there were lots of people there. Lots of people there. And the question is, like, when you've got lots of people there, like, what do you do with them? Like, I could have given a nice talk about prayer, and I could have given a nice talk about, you want to present them with Jesus Christ in a loving way. You want to present them with the question of eternity, that eternity, your eternity will depend upon Jesus Christ and what you do with him and how you have learned to love. Your eternity will depend upon your faith in Jesus Christ. So, what I tried to do and what I did with the words the best way that I could is I proclaimed Jesus Christ to these people. And then I gave stories, told stories about somebody who I brought to Christ, and in the last weeks of his life, he was confronted with Satan himself who came into the room, and Jesus just pointed at Satan when he said, I belong to God, and the devil ran away. This is real. This is real. I presented them with stories. I presented them with healing stories. I presented them with what God is doing now, how God changes lives through Christ Jesus. Okay? So this is how I presented. But I also presented that our eternity has to do with what we do with Jesus. You know, not many people will do that. You know, we just want to be kind to people. That's why I did it. I want to be kind to people because no one can ever say, if they're in my presence, that they didn't hear that our eternity depends upon what we do with Jesus Christ, the Lord. You know, no one will ever be able to say that. So I presented the Jesus as the great miracle worker, but the greatest miracle was his cross, death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, so I read the Pentecost event, and when you proclaim Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit begins to work in a mighty way. Now, what happened when Peter goes to Cornelius' house? We remember the story in the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Peter is at Simon the Tanner's house by the seaside, and he has a vision. And the vision has to do with all unclean animals. And he hears a voice that says, take and eat. Peter says, I'm not going to eat this. These are unclean animals. They are not kosher. But the voice says three times, the sheet comes three times, take and eat. What God has declared clean, you shall not declare unclean. With that, at the door are men from Cornelius' house. He had a vision. Go to Simon the Tanner and go ask Paul to come down and speak, or Peter to come down and speak. And said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the Tanner by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak unto you. Immediately, therefore, I sent to you, Peter, and you well know that thou wilt come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded you to say by the Lord himself. Now, remember the vision that Peter had. Unclean animals, take and eat. The Gentiles are unclean. You don't go into their homes. But Peter went because of the vision. In other words, he went. And this is what Peter said. Then Peter opened his mouth and said the truth. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, no respecter of Jew or Gentile. But in every nation, the one that fears him and works righteousness is accepted by God. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout Judea. It began from Galilee after the baptism of John the Baptist. Now, we're going to have him preach Christ. Listen, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He said the same thing to the Jewish people on the day of Pentecost, with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, signs and wonders and miracles. For God was with Jesus, and we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They slew him and hanged him on a tree. Him, Jesus Christ, God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. God raised him up on the third day, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained of God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets give witness. To whom? To Jesus Christ the Lord. That through his name, whose name? The name of Jesus. Whoever believes in him shall have the forgiveness of their sins. Believes in who? Believes in Jesus. While Peter spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them all. And while Peter spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them all who heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed, they were astonished, for as many as came with Peter, because that the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles just as it has fallen upon the Jews on the day of Pentecost. For they heard them speaking with other tongues, magnifying God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water baptism, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then he prayed with them, and he tarried with them for a certain amount of days. Again, when the proclamation of Jesus is given, the proclamation of his death, burial, and resurrection, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes. The Spirit of God convicts people of sin. The Spirit of God convicts people of Jesus. People's hearts are pricked by the presence of God. And you see, that's why Jesus has to be proclaimed. That's why evangelization has to do with the proclamation of the person of Jesus, God's only Son, God's eternal Son, the Son that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. How many people have I led to Jesus, you know? How many people have I led to Jesus just by telling them the simple message that Jesus gave his life for you, that Jesus shed his blood for you, that Jesus wants to forgive you, that the only thing you need to do is to open your heart to Jesus. How many people have I said this to? I've said this to little children, and I've taught them the song, into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I've said it to little children. I've said it to people who have received doctor degrees. You know, they were so strong, they even taught Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross. But they said to me, I don't know Jesus. I know the words, but I don't know Jesus. And so I brought them to the cross, and we asked Jesus to come into their heart and to forgive their sins, and that the Holy Spirit would fill them. How many drug addicts have I done that with? How many drug addicts have I done that with? You know, the people that have come to me that are on drugs, asking Jesus to come into their heart and to free them from this addiction and to save them and to set them free. You know, how many people have I done that with? How many people have I done that with at Christmas? You know, when people come to church at Christmas to present the gospel to them, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Your whole salvation depends upon what are you going to do
with Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, the one who became flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. Like, what are you going to do with Jesus? I presented it at Christmas. I presented it at Easter. I presented it during ordinary time. I presented during funerals. Oh, funerals are the best time to present Jesus to people, because you know why? You've got someone that you love that has died. And you tell people, you know, God loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his only son, and that his son wants to come into your life. But he won't come into your life unless you ask him to come. You need to invite him to come. I said this on television, on Boston Catholic Television. That's right. I remember saying this on Boston Catholic Television the last time that I was on Boston Catholic Television. And I received a call from a woman who now is in heaven. And she said, you know, I don't need to leave the Catholic Church because you presented Christ to me. I was never on television again. They did call me one other time, but I was never on television again. I remember after I gave that message, I heard people laughing in the background. But you know what? I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I do it to the Pope, even though he's a saint. You know what I'm saying? My saying, asking Jesus to come into his heart, you know, he, of course he's done that, but, you know, there's always more. And you know what the Pope says when somebody says, is there going to be a Vatican III? He says, we don't need a Vatican III. What we need a more spiritual renewal places where the Holy Ghost is moving, where Pentecost is moving, where the Spirit of God is moving. That's what we need in the church. We don't need a Vatican III or a Vatican IV or a Vatican VII. What we need is that the Spirit of God take root in people's hearts. Now, how does that happen? I'm going to tell you how it happens. Through the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and who shed his blood for us and who was buried on the third day, rose from the dead. How does it happen? Through the preaching of Jesus Christ. I've done it to little children. I've done it to doctoral candidates. I've done it to doctors. I've prayed with people like Peter Kreft. Now, I knew he knew Jesus, but you know what? He did not know the power of the Holy Spirit. And we prayed with Peter Kreft, or Peter Kreft, call him what you want, from Boston College, with all the degrees that he had, like a little child, the Spirit of God came upon him. Changed his life. Changed his life. And you know what? Peter is a great scholar and a great person in the Catholic tradition in 2011. But you know, I was his teacher. Imagine, I, a sixth grade teacher, was the teacher of some great scholar. And God love him, when his daughter had cancer, you know who he called? He called me to pray for his daughter, because he knew I had faith. His daughter was healed. Doctors and prayer, and you know, I felt so humbled that Peter would call me to pray for his daughter. But you see, this is what happens. This is what happens. You proclaim Jesus and things happen. Why is evangelization misunderstood? Because people do not proclaim Jesus Christ, that he changes people's lives, that he's the Lord, that he's God, and that he has a plan for our life. They don't proclaim Jesus. They proclaim everything else but Jesus. And you see, in the church we have what you call a lectionary, which are the readings that we use every single day. And they present us with Jesus. And the only thing the preacher has to do is to present the people with Jesus. I thank God so many years ago that I was presented with Jesus in 1968. I had been a churchgoer. I had gone to Mass every single day. I loved God, and as a child, I even knew God. But as I grew older, I was not able to do very much. As I grew older, I was not able to do very much because I just was barraged by doubts. But I was presented with Jesus. And Jesus came, and Jesus changed my life. And as a result of him changing my life, I've been able to bless other people, knowing that evangelization has content. We saw the content in the Acts of the Apostles. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up to be both Lord and Messiah. We saw the content in Cornelius' house. This Jesus whom you have crucified, God has raised up to be both Lord and Messiah. It is the message of the church. And Paul the Sixth, in his great document on evangelization, says that evangelization must start with the church. It must start with the people of God. It must start with us. Every generation needs to be evangelized. Every generation needs to meet Jesus, no matter who they are. Every generation, because God doesn't have any grandchildren. He only has children. My uncle might be the Pope himself, but that doesn't mean that salvation is carried through the genes. Every generation must believe. What did Peter say? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, and your household. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. And you know the great thing about the message? It's so simple. It's so simple. It's so simple. I can do it for a little kid that's in the second grade, and I can do it for a doctoral candidate. It's so simple. But I'm going to tell you, living a Christian life is not easy. Giving our life to Jesus is not easy to live out, because the world, the flesh, and the devil hate Jesus Christ. But you know what? I have the great privilege of preaching Jesus every single day. I have the great privilege of telling you about Jesus, that no matter what your troubles are today, that he's there for you. No matter what you're going through today, that he's there for you. And even if he seems far away, he's there for you. He's there for you. He hears you. He hears your tears. He hears your cries. He hears your pain. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. Call upon him now. Call upon him now, because he will answer you. He will answer you. He will answer you. Let's do the little prayer for the little children. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Pray with me. Father, I hear your voice. This Jesus is your beloved Son, whom you are well pleased in. I hear your voice. And I come to the cross, and I say, thank you for dying for me, Jesus. Thank you for rising for me, Jesus. Thank you for taking my sins to the cross, Jesus. I surrender my whole life to you, Jesus. Forgive my sins. Come and dwell in my heart by faith. Fill me with more love than I've ever had. I'm really desperate for you, Lord. Fill me with more love than I've ever had. Because I'm really desperate for you, Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Father, pour out your Spirit upon your people now. Let them know how much you love them. Let them know how much you love them. If you want to learn about evangelization, you go to the what they call the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. See the preaching of Peter. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. See the preaching of Peter to Cornelius. Evangelization has to do with what are we going to do with Jesus. Our whole eternity will depend upon what we do with Jesus. Give your life to Jesus today. And when tomorrow comes, give your life to Jesus again. And when everything goes wrong, continue to trust in the Lord and give your life to Jesus. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God. My name is Father Tom, and I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Jimmy the Roofer is waiting for your call, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. And today, we're going to be praying at the Holy Rosary, and you're welcome to come at 1:30 and join us in praise and worship. And you're welcome to come, and I will be at the Espousal Retreat House on Wednesday at 7:30 in the evening. I will be at the Espousal Retreat House on Wednesday at 7:30 in the evening. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. You have redeemed the world through your blood. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.